Historically, the Bible ultimately gave birth to education for the masses in the American experience. That included, by the way, at all levels of education. I mean, for example, Harvard was founded in 1636 as a completely Christian school, the first, in fact, the only of the Ivy League schools that wasn't explicitly Christian was Cornell University, but that was not established until the 1840s after Harvard had already been practicing Christianity for 200 years. And the Bible was the chief textbook, and that included at the lower levels of education. Children were learning how to read and write so that they could ultimately read the Bible. Well, obviously, things have changed a lot since then. And in fact, recently, we've seen situations where, because of a misreading of the Constitution, some school administrators treat the Bible like it's a forbidden book, banned in the public schools, the Holy Bible. Well, recently, the state of Texas has cast a vote in favor of Bible education. One group that applauds this new measure is Child Evangelism Fellowship. Fred Pry is the vice president of administration for Child Evangelism Fellowship. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and we welcome Fred Pry to the program to discuss Bible education in our public schools. Fred, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Oh, it's my privilege.
And first, how about just a quick comment? What is the Child Evangelism Fellowship Ministry? I do know for a fact that attorney, Liberty Council, Matt Staver. He's done such a great job. I think he even brought a case related to Child Evangelism Fellowship all the way to the Supreme Court.
Yes, the Liberty Council is a great partner with CEF, and they love the ministry of CEF. They love to see children. They're passionate about it, hearing the gospel, have that opportunity in the public schools. And so they've been a great supporter of CEF and have filed multiple lawsuits on our behalf and won every single one of them up to this point. And we just praise the Lord for that. But CEF is a worldwide organization. We're in most nations of the world, sharing the gospel with children and seeing that they are discipled in the Word of God and connected with a local Bible-believing church. And that's been our purpose since the founding of our ministry some 89 years ago. And we're just excited to be part of what God is doing in this world to reach the next generation.
All right, good. Recently, the Texas State Board of Education had a vote, and they decided to include 10 Old Testament and 5 New Testament passages among required literature readings for K-12 students. You know, the left blows a gasket on those things, but in reality, look, the most famous atheist in our time, Richard Dawson, who wrote that book about the God delusion, and, you know, he basically said in that book, you are culturally illiterate if you don't know the Bible. Now, he didn't agree that it was true. He just said, you just don't know. And he said, and then he even talked about all kinds of different common phrases and so forth that can be found in the Bible. Can you be culturally literate and not know anything about the scriptures?
I don't believe so, especially in America, when you think that this great nation was founded on these Judeo-Christian ethics and has a biblical basis for it. In fact, it's profoundly affected even our own nation in such a way that other nations are wanting to imitate it. And it's just exciting. So obviously, the Bible is historically accurate because it cannot lie. God cannot lie. And so it should be profound reading. And when you think about the laws of our nation, they are based on the biblical truth that we believe in.
By the way, I said Richard Dawson. I meant to say Richard Dawkins. Big difference there. But so going back to the whole idea of, a portion of the Bible being read, can you know about history if you don't know anything about the Old Testament or the New Testament? I don't see how you can.
That's exactly right. And that's why it's so important for it to be included. And that's why we support this effort of what's happened in Texas and even other states around the country as well. We pray that that continues, that their step continues into some of these other states doing the same thing.
You know, it's interesting. I was talking recently in a Sunday school class. We were talking about temptation, and I was talking about the temptation that Cain experienced where he wanted to get back at his brother, and God said to him, look, if you do the right thing, you know, your worship will be accepted also. Your sacrifice will be accepted. But if not, you know, it's going to be very bad for you. And even that phrase, am I my brother's keeper? That comes from that very passage. But John Steinbeck, the famous author, in his book East of Eden, had a whole big passage about the temptation of Cain. And, you know, that's just one example among many of how literature has been impacted by the Bible.
Yes, so true.
Okay, so why don't you go ahead and talk about why you think the vote or why you think this law is a good one?
Well, for one thing, that we know the Bible is true. As believers, we don't even question that. It's absolutely true. It can be counted on. Of course, there is that historical aspect to it, that it's accurate, is affected. Even the great artists from the past, you think about some of the stained glass windows and some of the paintings they've done on ceilings and walls around this world have been based on the scriptures and the messages and the truth that's found there. And it's just, so it's affected art even in today's society. And so as people see that art, as they, where does that come from? Where does that story come from? Well, it comes from the Bible. So it's historical, it's true, it's 100% accurate, it can be counted on. It has had a profound effect on this and many other nations, as I mentioned earlier. And it's just exciting to know that God's word, it being introduced to God's word, can have a profound effect on a person's life and really make a difference and make change. In fact, in today's society, when you think about it, this world in which we live, you know, it's claiming that, oh, well, this is true and this is true and that's true, and anybody can claim their own truth. Well, the reality is, no, there's absolute truth. And where do we discover that? We only discover that from God himself, because he cannot lie and we can count on it. And so when people in this world are wrestling with this idea of, well, what to believe, how to, you know, what moral is should I follow? What makes a person moral or immoral, and no truth from error? Where do we find that? It's all found in the scriptures. And that's why it's so important for people to be introduced, children especially, to be introduced to the Bible even at a young age.
You know, it's interesting. I think in some ways things have changed because of the difference in the courts. And I think, frankly, President Trump has some credit for that. For example, in 1980, now this is even before Ronald Reagan was elected, and he helped change the courts in a positive way. And so did George W. Bush and George H.W. Bush and so forth here and there. And then, you know, but this is why the battle over the courts has been so important. But okay, so before Reagan became president, there was a terrible decision from the Supreme Court called the Stone v. Graham case, and it was related to the Ten Commandments. And they said in that decision, if the Ten Commandments are posted in the schools, the children might read them, meditate upon them, venerate them, and obey them. And we can't permit that. That is a violation of the Establishment Clause. That's what they said in Stone v. Graham, 1980. Well, you jump ahead to 2025, just last year, there was a Texas law now requiring the Ten Commandments to be displayed in public classrooms. The only reason they could even have such a law getting passed is because there's been a freeing up on the part of the Supreme Court. So I'd like you to comment on these issues that I've just raised.
Oh, sure. Happy to do that. You know, when I think about the courts, and we do pray that God puts good, godly people on our courts that will make good and wise judgments. And we know that really is God's doing. And of course, we have a part to play in that as we have opportunity to vote into these positions like president, and Congress, people that will also follow those beliefs and guidelines as well, putting good qualified people in them. And so that is very important. I actually think you mentioned two court cases, or at least this Texas case and the one previous. There was a 1963 court case, the Supreme Court case, Abington versus Shemp, and it explicitly clarified that studying the Bible or religion objectively as part of a curriculum remains completely constitutional. That was in 1963. So when you
let me just interrupt you if I may, real fast. Abington, you're absolutely right, and Abington also on the negative side said that the Bible reading, was not allowed if it was for a devotional purpose. But they had that aspect, that clarification saying, hey, if you want to study the Bible as literature, then unfortunately, because of the net effect of Abington versus Shemp and all these other decisions that were, interpreted only on the negative side of things, after a while, the Bible became a forbidden book in the public schools.
Yes, yes, that's so true. In fact, I was kind of telling you my age now, but I was in elementary school when the Bible was officially taken out of the public school. And yet it's exciting to see, to know CEF has actually been part of seeing the Bible go back to the public school through after school good news clubs. And that's it's a different situation, but that's how CEF has promoted Bible reading. And not only Bible reading, but the studying of scriptures and the explanation and the truth of the Bible and the invitation to trust Christ as your Savior has been so important to what we do. And so that has opened the door to the Bible actually being read, memorized, sung right in the public school on an after-school basis.
Wow. And anything else you want to add to this whole discussion?
Well, I would just say that, we've seen such an impact on people's lives. The scripture, yes, they can read it for just historical background and that there's value in it. But the reality is the Word of God is powerful and it can change a life. It can bring hope to where hopelessness exists. It can change bullies to buddies right there in the elementary school. I've seen children become witnesses because of their experiencing who Christ is and what he's done in their life, and changing families. There's, parents get saved because their children were introduced to the scriptures, the truth of scriptures. We've seen parents get baptized, whole families changed because of the impact and what is happening as people study, read, and understand. It transforms a life, and that can transform a family and eventually transform a community and a nation.
It's so interesting when you hear this kind of positive thing. It's such a breath of fresh air compared to so much of the negative we hear, about so many young people that are coming up and they hate America. They hate the Bible. They probably never read it, but they hate it anyway.
Yes. Yes. And the sad part is they're usually getting that from an uninformed adult. And they need adults in their life. Children need adults in their life that will tell them the truth. I mean, you think about all of the stuff that's being reported as truth in the school setting or in educational settings about the whole transgender stuff and the all of those things. And children are asking questions. This is what they've heard. Where are they getting the answers? Do they have a trusted adult in their life who can answer some of those questions? And that's the beauty of having these trained Good News Club teachers who love the Lord, can use the scriptures to answer some of those questions and really help them navigate the society and see these boys and girls become disciples of Christ, following him throughout their whole life, and then raising up their children to also follow him as well.
All right, we're out of time. What is your website, please?
The website is cefonline.com. That's cefonline.com.
Okay, Fred Pry, thanks so much. All the best.
Thank you so much.